9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Very nice out there right now. It's 92 degrees. Heat index is 94. Humidity is dropping like a rock, 38%. Winds out of south, southwest, 7 miles an hour with gusts up to 10. A little bit calmer than it has been the last couple days. They still got us in for a 20% chance of thunderstorms today and tonight, so we'll see what happens. And then more moisture in the forecast coming up next week. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here shortly. I don't even know where to start today. I know where I want to start before I get into the grains. What I seen last night on 3rd Street in Elk City is just crazy. That's all I can tell you. Went to the Redland Chiropractic Center where Pritchard Farm Market has once or twice a week when they got vegetables, comes in there and Brian and his wife and children come in there and set up stand. And I'm pretty sure last night was about as fast as I've ever seen a vegetable stand set up. When I pulled in there, I think there was like 3, 4, maybe 5 cars sitting in there. And before Brian even got there, there was like 40 cars and people circling the block around there like crazy in their cars, wait for him to show up. And he pulled in there and it was just like, it was like, what are they, like Black Friday before Christmas. This was like Black Vegetable Wednesday. And people had to get out of the way to see what get hit with tables. And had lots of vegetables. I mean, it didn't last, I don't know, maybe a whole 30 minutes, but it was crazy. People want vegetables really bad. He had some good, lots of watermelon. Didn't I guess he had plenty of watermelons, but he had lots of cantaloupe and then the other stuff, okra and squash and peppers and stuff like that. You know, plenty. But I posted a video, partial video, on our KECOFM Facebook page. You want to take a look how crazy it got there for a little bit. And anyway, it was actually fun. Warren Mayfield, our local hairstylist from down there on Broadway, me and him was sitting there talking, and they had some Israel cantaloupe. I don't know how many of you guys out there have had Israel cantaloupes, but they've become my favorite over the Honey Gold's regular cantaloupes. But anyway, he got him one of them. I don't know if he's tried it yet or not. Man, anyway, it was just crazy, and they'll be back there Sunday evening at 6 p.m. in the evening, 6 p.m. at the Redland Chiropractor. If you guys want to go get some more vegetables, I'll have another round coming in Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. But I'm just going to give you a piece of advice. Show up, wear your football helmet, shoulder pads, because there was a couple ladies like there last night. They'd knock you out of the way if you got in their way. Anyway, but a lot of good people there. Don't get me wrong. They're not mean. But I bet if you put your hand on their cantaloupe they were reaching for, you might get slapped. But anyway, so be there early, and just so you can get a parking spot. yes, I am, Mr. Pritchard. Hey, you get home faster if I talk about it. Anyway, Brian just pushed text in, oh my god, are you trying to kill me? But anyway, it was fun, it was great, and had a good time. Well, onward to the grain market. And oh, one more thing, sorry, before I get to the grain market, you know how sidetracked I can get real easily. I noticed on our Facebook page last night on the comment on Brian's deal how it would be really nice to get a farmer's market in Elk City. I know Hobart's got one. I think Weatherford's got one. Clinton's got one. Don't believe Mangum's got one or Granite. You might catch some people down there selling some vegetables on the corners. Elk City doesn't have one. You know, you got them out at the sale barn here south of town, selling them on, I don't know if they're selling today, but they'll be there tomorrow for sure during the sale. And out west of town by Hutch's, there's always somebody there. Yes, I agree with the lady. We need a farmer's market in Elk City. We need a good one. We need one with the support of the community and the city of Elk City. And we need to have it in a ideal location. I heard stories about 6, 8, 10 years ago that a specialist came into Elk City to go over where a good farmer's market would be. And they picked out some spots, and all of them are on 3rd Street. You got to be where people can see you when they're driving by. Like last night, I'm sure people could see all the chaos there at the Pritchard's Farmer's Market. And I'm saying that in a good way, so don't get mad at me, Brian. And there's a but they got to be somewhere where you can see it. I know they used to have it behind the downtown buildings over there between Bank of Western Oklahoma. That's kind of a really cool spot to have one, but it's that half a block off the beaten path, and I promise you, it makes a world of difference. You got to be where the traffic is. If you get where the traffic is and the markets do good, like Brian's last night, people will keep coming. More vegetable growers will be coming, more farmers, more everything. So anyway, yes, I agreed with her on that. Now on to the greens. How's that? Now, ooh, I just deleted it. Hang on here a second. Oh, how did I do that? Anyway, hang on 1 second. I'm going to get back to it. Oklahoma, there we go. Accident. I'm not a computer whiz, but it won't take me but a second to get it right back up. All right. I'm back on the right page. And let's go to market overview. And there we are. All right. So let's start out with the grains. We got corn for September on the futures, 601. Everything's in the green in the grains today, by the way. December, 605. March is 613. May is 617. Soybeans for August, 1606. September, 1459. November, 1417. January is $14.25. Soybean meal. August, $512.80 for a short ton. Man, that's way up today. September is $453.30. October is $423.10. Soybean oil, August, 65.71 cents per pound. Soybean oil for September is 62.14 cents per pound. And October, 61.33 cents per pound. Hard red winter wheat, $8.55 for September, $8.62 for December. And then let's go on down here, see what cotton's doing. Cotton's just hanging in there. October's just a fraction over a penny, and December is 94 cents a pound. All right, let's check out the cash grain markets. At the elevators in Oklahoma and Texas, hard red winter wheat is at $7.97. Corn's at $7.37. Milo's at $6.30, and soybeans are $14.73 a bushel. All right, let me find my paperwork here. Well, I must have lost it anyway. When I come back, well, it's break time anyway. When I come back, we will go over the what's happening in the world and the United States as far as agriculture is going on, and we'll talk about livestock. I have some results from the Hobart stockyards yesterday. It looked like prices were good down there from what I've seen. Also, coming up this Saturday at the Hobart stockyards, the Hobart Stockyards goat and sheep sale will start at 11 a.m. at the stockyards, and if you want to bring any, they're going to accept some Saturday afternoon. They'll start accepting them Sunday morning too. If you got any questions about either selling or buying goats or sheep, give Mr. Rex Fleming a call down at the Hobart Stockyards. Today, what is today? Thursday, Woodward's happening. Woodward's having their feeder calf sale. Tomorrow, Elk City Livestock Auction will be having theirs. Call Mr. Brandon Hickey for any of your buying or selling needs there. Hollis, Saturday, and then Sunday, all the buyers, they don't take, or the auction houses close down on Sunday, but they don't take a day off. They got to get stuff in for Monday sale at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. It'll be going on then. So there's all kinds of things going on at the sale barns right now. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying into the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that, I understand it, I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oak City, 92 degrees. Heat index is 93. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area off the mezzanette. I can already tell. Tipton is at 101, Altus 98, Hollis 94, Mangum 97, Hobart's 96, Bessie's 95, Butler's 96, Cheyenne, you're 94, Shamrock, Wheeler, and Canadian, and Wellington. You all guys are right there hanging in there between 93 and 94 degrees. There's a 102 down at Warrica, and Ketchum Ranch is at 100. So anyway, I got a couple of things in on the text line I'd like to discuss real quick before we go on with what's happening in the world agriculture news. One person texted in and says, have you noticed less pollinators in gardens this year? Seems like a lot of people's gardens look great but aren't producing. I think that's one of the main things. I honestly do. And I talked about it last week or the week before. Ever since I started just letting some water drip and making, I got a little 30-gallon barrel and I got my sprinkler set on top of it, so it'll sprinkle all over the whole garden without not hitting anything. And that water's standing up there and I'm letting it drip in there, and there's continuous honeybee flow through there. And ever since I started doing that, my garden is starting to bloom. The tomatoes, they're all like, it's just a crazy garden year. One out of every 10 gardens is actually making some. I think the biggest complaint I heard is there's very few tomatoes being made. I heard one lady or gentleman out around Sweetwater just making bukus of tomatoes, and the next 10 people you talk to ain't making squat. So it's just a crazy year. But pollinators are 100% important to anything to do with it, besides gardens, agriculture. And that's why I kind of harp on, you know, try not to spray your fence rows, only for quail too. You know, it's a double want there. But the county's not mowing their right-of-ways on the dirt roads or least traveled roads is making a big difference, because there's a lot of wild sunflowers through there and other weeds and pollinators like that. And you know, yes, pollinators are very important. And then the major from Cooperton said that Lawton has a brand new $1 million farmers market. It's really awesome setup. So anyway, we're going to check into that. Thanks, Major Cooperton. Anyway, appreciate that information. All right, so let's move on. Soybean and corn futures were slightly lower in overnight trading, although they were way higher today at noon, while wheat is a touch higher as investors weigh in on hot weather in the United States against improved prospects for production in the Ukraine. Extremely hot weather expected to hit triple digits in several areas of the Midwest, ranging from western South Dakota and Nebraska to Kansas and Oklahoma and Missouri, is underpinning prices this morning. Much of the Dakotas, eastern Nebraska, Iowa, northern Illinois have seen little or no rain in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Still, western Kansas, most of Oklahoma, excuse me, and Arkansas and the southern half of Illinois have seen ample precipitation in the past 7 days. And I'm going to say, when they say most of Oklahoma, they're probably talking about the northern half of Oklahoma. Because, yes, I got 1.2 at my place, but you can't tell it now. About 61% of the U.S. corn crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, with 26% now in the dough stage, according to the Department of Agriculture in its report. In Ukraine, meanwhile, the government raised prospects for this year's agriculture production to 65 million to 67 million tons. That's up from the prior outlook of 60 million tons. While increased production may be welcome amid several food crises globally, getting the grains and oilseeds out of Ukraine is proven pretty difficult. Despite an agreement allowing cargo carriers to haul grain out of the Ukrainian ports, only one ship has sailed since the agreement last week. The ship, loaded with 26,000 metric tons of corn, was the first and thus far only ship to make it its way through the Ukraine port of Odessa. More than 20 million metric tons of grains are still awaiting export from the country. Probably not every ship wants to go through the minefields that they got there, the Russians laid out. So who knows what's going on. Just welcome to the real world, shipping crazy, bad deals everywhere. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 3 cents to $13.64¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal rose $1.40 to $3.99.50 a short ton, while soybean oil futures declined 0.64 cents, that's less than a penny, to 60.36 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery were down 2 cents to $5.94¼ a bushel. Wheat for September delivery rose one penny to $7.64 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures added a penny to $8.36.5 a bushel. Ethanol output jumped to the highest level in 4 weeks, while inventories increased slightly according to the data from the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel rose an average of 1.043 million barrels a day in that week that ended on July 29th. That's up from 1.02 million barrels a week, week earlier per day. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output averaged 984,000 barrels per day from 962,000 barrels a week earlier. Gulf Coast production, 25,000 barrels. That's up from 23,000 barrels. The East Coast output was unchanged. The Rocky Mountain output was unchanged. The West Coast dropped to 7,000 barrels per day on average after spending nine straight weeks at 9,000 barrels a day. I'm betting that's because Nancy visited Taiwan and she took all that with her because she wasn't using it, using her private jet to do all kinds of stuff. Anyway, ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, rose modestly to 23.394 million barrels a day in a week through July 29th. That's up from 23.328 million barrels a day the previous week. All right, let's see what's happening nationwide with our weather. Of course, we know excessive heat warnings and heat advisories have been issued for parts of southwestern South Dakota and Nebraska. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures in the area will rise as high as 105 in the daytime over the next couple of days, with lows over getting down into the mid-70s. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday morning, I think it was 78, 79 when I went across the river to move the side row, and it was warm. It was and then this morning when I went across, when you're going across there in the river, the lower bottom on the river, I had the Ranger out there, and I could feel a chill every now and then, but it felt pretty good. Heat advisories are also in effect with central Kansas, where heat indexes are forecast to hit 105 tomorrow through central Texas starting tomorrow morning. Storms are rumbling through southern Missouri into western central Illinois this morning, causing flooding in some deals. There we have it. When I get back after the break, I will talk about the livestock futures, feeder futures, and what happened at Hobart. Sorry, got a little long-winded there on that little deal talking about gardens. I love it. Anyway, we'll get back, talk about that, and I got some stuff come out from OSU. And if I got enough time, I want to talk about, see if you guys remember, back in the early 80s, I know you will over there in Washtenaw County, because Shrek's Farm Supply was the dealer on them. If you remember the 8000 series Alice Chandler's tractors. Anyway, Big Orange, I always called them. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 29th. 1,430 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 250 brought 218. 12 at 480 brought 172. 9 at 587 brought 165.50. 7 at 617 brought 158. 17 at 830 brought 167. 5 head of heifers at 423 brought 166.50. 11 at 455 brought 175.50. 4 at 476 brought 176. 6 at 495 brought 165. 7 at 876 brought 146.50. Butcher cows were 12 to 96. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 115. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 850 to 1475. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 1st. 2,238 head were sold. Six head of steers at 383 brought 202. Five at 677 brought 157. Nine at 685 brought 174.50. 16 at 849 brought 163. 14 at 905 brought 164. Four head of heifers at 439 brought 186. Seven at 539 brought 162. 12 at 638 brought 167.50. Six at 833 brought 152. 101 at 1,006 brought 146. Butcher cows were 11 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 110. Pairs brought 850 to 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, here at the station on the Gabe Gadget, we're at 95 degrees, humidity's 34, wind just 4 miles an hour. On the mezzanette, we're at 92 and 92 on the heat index, so things are, let's see if it's cooling down everywhere. We've cooled down, no, it's not cooling down, I didn't think so, no. Matter of fact, Mangum, you're at 99 degrees right now. Butler, 95. Up there, Arnett, home of the famous Rocky Whitson. Hope he's listening. He is at 93 at Arnett. Anyway, all right, let's check out the futures on the cattle real quick and get that going and gone. There we go. Okay, they're kind of all in the red. Not bad. August for live cattle, 137.82. October's 143.75. December's 149.70. And then February's 154.35. August for feeder cattle, 178.95. Down slightly, 182.52 for September. Lean hogs, August 120.62. October 97.12. And December is 88.40. All right, let's check out what happened at Hobart yesterday. Let's see here. Where'd he go? I've got it right here somewhere. There it is. All right, I don't know how many head they had, but steers weighing in the 200 to 300-pound range was bringing up to 208. In the 300 to 400-pound range, they were bringing up to 220. And the 4 to 5 weights, basically $2. 5 to 6 weights, $1.84. 6 to 7s, $1.77. This is the high end. And they was all averaging pretty close to that, so wasn't a bunch of variations in that. 8 to 900-pound range, $1.52. Then we got some heifers. Bringing $1.80 in the 3 to 4 range, $1.63 in the 4 to 5 range, 5 to 6 range, $1.63, 6 to 7 range, $1.49, 8 to 900-pound range, $1.44. Cows, slaughter cows up to 89 cents. Slaughter bulls up to $1.13, and we had some looked like preg cows, cows that were pregnant, bringing up to 1250. So that's what happened at Hobart yesterday. All right, let's see what's happening in the real world back here. Here we go. We've talked about this several times in the past couple weeks, but this is a little different story. We've been talking about testing hay and testing stuff on Johnson grass and your pastures and stuff where you turn cattle in. On coming out of the OSU Extension office, test nitrate levels before feeding failed crops and basically turning in on your crops. Seen a lot of people around the Granite area, down in that area, because that's in my travels, that had some kind of sorghum one way or the other, and they're turning out on it now. So be careful. The harvest of fall crops will not go according to plan this season for some Oklahoma producers and Texas producers due to the extreme summer heat and drought. For crops like corn that are not harvested for grain, repurposing the plants as a forage might be an option. When feeding a failed field to livestock, producers should first test for nitrate toxins in crops such as corn, sorghum, sedan. Don't forget to check those fence lines with that Johnson grass. Specialist Alex, he's a specialist with the Oklahoma State University Extension Forest System Specialist, said crops intended for grain production may have been fertilized more, stimulating the plant to absorb more nitrates. Herbicides and pesticides might also have been applied. So make sure you remember what you sprayed your field with, because you might not want to turn your cattle in on there while it's growing. Who knows? Anyway, look at the chemical label to make sure that there isn't any grazing or haying restriction for what you had applied. Then sample the crop and send to an analyst for nitrate concentrations. County educators can help sample the crop properly, analyze it, interpret the results that you get back. He also said farmers can graze corn, but should not turn hungry cattle onto drought-stressed corn stocks that may contain nitrates. And you know, they pump a lot of nitrogen into that corn, so be careful there. Feed cattle good quality hay before introducing them to the crop, but do not overgraze the field. When the corn is grazed down to the height of 15 inches, remove the cattle from the field. He said most of the plant's toxicity is present in the lower part of that stalk, and the last 12 to 15 inches should not be consumed by livestock. If the plants are drought stressed and receive rain, wait 5 to 7 days minimum. And as Mr. Dan Cook was talking about here from OSU office up there, Roger Mills recommends 7, 10 to 14 days. And we've been getting rain. Some people were getting rain last week, and just be careful if you got Johnson grass out in your pastures or whatever. Don't get ambitious just because you had a rain the other day. Make sure you check it. After the rain, the nitrate concentration will spike before the plant metabolizes it. Other methods of feeding failed crops to animals include green chop, silage, and baling the field for hay. And there you have it. When I get back, we're going to talk about the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And I got a deal from Cow-Calf Corner with one of my favorite people from OSU, Paul Beck. And then I want to talk to you about this Alice Chandler's tractor, the 8000 series. It's a really good story about a great tractor, but it was just a bad idea for the times. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently, it's 97 degrees here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center here in the studio, whatever he calls this thing. Anyway, according to the Elk City Mezzanette, let's refresh. Yes, yep. It's done. 92 degrees. Heat index is 93. Humidity is 37. The winds are still out of the south, southwest, 6-7 miles an hour. Today, 102 for a high. Looks like we're going to probably get there. 20% slight chance of storms. Tonight, 20% chance of storms. 75 for a low. Tomorrow, hot, 101. Saturday, hot, 99 degrees. Sunday, hot, 99 degrees. But looky here, come Monday, 20% chance of thunderstorms. And get the jacket out. It's going to be 97 degrees. That'll be like a cold front coming through here. We are under a heat advisory today till 8 o'clock tonight, FYI. Be careful out there. Drink plenty of water no matter what you're doing, whether you're farming, ranching, building fence, whatever it takes. Make sure you drink plenty of water, and it'll be really good for you. Hey, and I want to give a shout-out down there at the Walgreens at 3rd and Main here in Elk City. They have watermelons for sale there in the Walgreens parking lot. Watermelons are kind of hard to come by, so go stop through there and grab it. And if you are listening, if you do stop by there and say, I heard this on Today in Ag, you probably ain't going to get a discount. He'll probably raise the price on you, but no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, they're selling watermelons down there at 3rd and Main. And they'd appreciate if you stop by and buy a watermelon. They're real handy to get in. You can drive through. It's like drive through, pick your watermelon up almost. They'll probably walk out there and ask you, what do you want? How many you want? Anyway, stop by there and get them. Them are locally grown here in Beckham County and right there on the county line of Greer County. I'm got to throw a little pitch in there for Greer County. It'll be all right. So anyway, go get you some watermelons. Well, you guys remember back in the day, like the orange tractor, we called it. You would have thought they were made in Stillwater, as orange as they were. But anyway, I remember when Shrek's there south of Canute had the Alice Chandlers and orange. They, in the 70s, I think when I was in high school and junior high, it was the 7000 series. I didn't know the numbers that well, but I do remember the ones they came out with in the early 80s, because them was the first tractors I ever remember seeing with front wheel assist. But this article is a really cool article, and I'll get through it as quick as I can. But in my opinion, the Alice Chandlers 8000 series tractors were a good mid-range tractor, maybe some of their best. Certain models had their issues, true, but they overall, they were a good machine. That said, they all suffered from one fatal flaw, bad timing. Alice Chandler seemed to hit its stride in the late 60s with the 100 series tractors. The 190 XTs sold like hotcakes, and when the 210 and 220 were added to the lineup as the big horses in 1970, they sold well also. Still, the line was getting a little long in the tooth, and dealers wanted a shiny new toy to sell so they could compete with the Harvester 66 series and the Deere's Soundguards. When the first of all the new 7000 series tractors rolled out of West Allis for the 1973 model year, dealers jumped in both feet and pushed pretty hard. The acoustic cab was a major development for Alice, as I believe it was their first true factory cab, and it was a pretty big selling point on those tractors. Anyway, to make a long story short, the 7000 series tractor sold throughout the 70s into the early 80s. Back home in Michigan, I know there's at least one or two families in my neck of the woods who farmed pretty exclusively orange when I was growing up, and that's just like me. I remember some of those guys, especially the Shreks, had their orange tractors going, and I can't remember who else had them, but I know there's some out there that had them. I bet they still have one or two of those sitting around somewhere in the shed or out there in the pasture. Okay, but the worst of the times were coming. All right, interesting iron guys, we know all about what was with the doom and gloom. Let's talk about the 8000 series. Hey, here's the thing, the 8000 series and the worst of times kind of happened at the same time. I'm being objective about this, but these two stories need to be told together. AC's top brass knew the market was evolving rapidly and their competitors were continuously freshening up designs and introducing new features to remain competitive, like John Deere, the 4010, the 4020, the 4030, the 4040. They had to get on it. Alice had always done a lot of that. Not that they weren't keeping up with Harvester and Deere, but they seemed to hang on to designs a little bit longer than they should have. Furthermore, farmers were starting to look for more comfort and efficiency in the field as they were spending more time there than ever before. When the debuted the 8000 series to their dealers in Reno in late 1981, they really put the spotlight on the two major selling points to address these issues: the cab and a power front axle. The acoustic cab design was a double-edged sword as far as I'm concerned, and this just him talking. Yes, they were quiet. They tested quieter than a sound guard. In fact, to me, they were awfully cramped. The Alice guys have all assured me that I'd fit in there because he was a big old boy, and it would won't feel like the scene in Tommy Boy where Chris Farley puts on David Spade's suit jacket. Anyway, someday I was going to put their reassurances to the test. When I do, I'll have somebody take a video of me getting in and out. I might look for a little more, just be funny. Anyway, fortunately, the 8000 series didn't carry that cab over. Instead, farmers got a great new box to sit in. It had big doors, 40-inch wide at the belt line, et cetera, as much as John Deere fans love to talk about their cabs being outstanding, it was more convenient to be able to get in and out of the tractor from either side. And, you know, John Deere has always been one-sided. Inside the cab was really roomy, spacious. AC's marketing people touted it with more than 38% more room and visibility too. Less blind spots was really nice. The cab layout was simple and efficient, and I think it aged fairly well. All right, front wheel drive, MFWD. If I'm not mistaken, the Alice Chandler's 8000 series tractors were the first available front wheel drive, aside from the 100 220s. According to their marketing people, it made the tractor 20% more efficient in the field and cut drastically down on the slippage. Power and drive line were the places 8000s borrowed from the 6000 of the 7000 series. The 8010 used a turbocharged 301, the 8030 used a turbocharged 426, and the 8050 and 8070 added an intercooler as well. Now for the other part of the story, the whole worst of times thing above, that was real. Quite frankly, the Alice Chandler's 8000 series tractors couldn't have been launched in the worst time in American history. The farm crisis was just picking up speed when the AC launched the tractors in Reno. By the time they actually got it to their dealer lots a few months later, as if the world had pretty much come undone. Unemployment was high, inflation was through the roof, interest rate got us nearly 21% during the early 80s, and I can verify that it did. I had a 20% loan out on my welding truck. For farmers, it was even worse. After a couple of very good years as far as yields, grain exports tanked due to the Soviet embargo. While 1981 was the peak year in the 80s for grain exports, it would drop to nearly 20% the following 2 years in 82, 83. Until 1987, when Reagan lifted the restrictions, furthermore, farmland values absolutely tanked for years during nearly 60%. It wasn't just the farm crashes that put the nails in the coffin for Alice. Alice was a heavily diversified company. They had been since day one. They had business units involved in everything from farm and construction to mining, power generation, and blah, blah, blah. I feel like they were pretty thin stretched at that. Furthermore, while they were always a competitor, they never really held the top spot in any of the areas of the businesses they were in. At the end of the day, this is just his opinion, nothing could save the company. Alice 8000 tractor could have been the greatest tractor on the planet, but they just built it at the wrong time. So there you go on the Alice. All right, let's see here. Gentleman texted in. He said, I worked for Alice Chandler dealership in Mangum, Oklahoma for 5 years. I love those orange tractors. There you go. And the owners was Curtis Wetzel. I guess I hope I'm saying that right. Wetzel. Anyway. Man, I can't get rid of that little thing got my throat. Anyway, thanks for texting that in. All right, where do we want to go to from here? Got time for one more thing before the show's over. Oh, there he is, Paul Beck. Trout, as we all know, it's in the story, it's in my show every day, and I can't get away from it because it's in stories of everything that's going around, excuse me, in our ag industry. Drought has impacted pasture forage production and hay yields across the region, and we know this. Many producers are faced with a choice between selling cows now or feeding up their already limited hay supply early. Late last week, areas across North Texas, northern Oklahoma, and into Kansas, into the Mid-South, got nice rains, which can rejuvenate drought-stricken pastures and provide some relief for pressure to start feeding hay. The rain also provides the opportunity to plant some warm season annuals in the crop fields for the fall pasture. Warm season annuals are often thought of as emergency grazing in hay crops when late spring and early summer hay harvesting are lacking. Annual forage crops such as millet, Sudan grass, and sorghum, Sudan grass type hybrids, and or legumes like cowpeas or mung beans are usually planted in the late spring or early summer for mid to late summer harvest. Recent research has investigated using annual forages in novel ways to further extend grazing season. And I'm not going to lie to you, I just got through putting in 50 acres of millet and high gear combination in the last 5 days, and I got rain on the ones I dusted in, and then I planted in moisture on the other 30 acres I finished up with the day before yesterday. Now, if it comes up, I don't know that. I hope it does. It's drying out pretty fast. In the southeast and southern Great Plains, late summer plantings of warm season annuals have been used to fill the gaps in fall forage production. Here's what my landlord's theory is. Get it planted by the 15th of August. Got 45 days. Like millet is done in 60 days. So you got 45 days, which puts you in the September. You can grow enough to make a good hay crop if you get the rain. Other than that, it's just a cover crop. Annual grasses, including sorghum, Sudan grass, pearl millet, brown top millet, and corn, were planted as late as August, in late August of 2018. When these were harvested in October, 42 days later, yields were anywhere from 2,500 pounds of dry matter per acre for brown top millet to over 3,300 pounds of dry matter using sorghum or Sudan grass or pearl millet. There you go. These forages were 16 to 18% crude protein with 60 to 65% total digestible nutrients at harvest in October following a frost in late November. These forages were still 12 to 15% crude protein and 61 to 65% TDN for all but brown top millet, which was only at 51%. I'm doing brown top millet, brown millet, I call it, just because it's good for the quail. How's that? And deer like it. It's like candy. And that's what I'm feeding over there along the river. So I might as well plant something they like. They're going to tear everything else up. Grazing in millet, Sudan grass, and sorghum should be withheld until they're 18 to 36 inches tall. And rotation should be timed to leave 6 to 8 inches of stubble height to enhance regrowth potentials. Grazing can occur as early as 4 weeks post-planting, but their rapid growth makes ideal management very challenging. Steers grazing millet and a cover crop forage blend in the late summer and fall gain over 2 pounds per day and test in central Oklahoma, showing that these forages can be an option for high-quality pasture in the gap between summer grass and fall wheat pasture. These pastures were planted in the 1st of August and were grazed starting on September 11th, 40 days after planting. How about that? Anyway, last but not least, before we finish up here, this year's high feed and grain prices limit our ability to feed our way out of a drought. Annual forages offer many advantages in designing systems to extend grazing seasons into all environments. Annual forages are generally higher in nutrition, and perennials or plantings can be timed to fill gaps if available in the local environment. And you know what we got to have to make all this work, though? Moisture. So anyway, it's worth a gamble. If you get, it's like me, I've got it planted in moisture, it might come up, but if I don't get a rain within a week or 10 days, I wasted my time. But I was willing to gamble because I'm actually putting it up for hay, not grazing. But it'll work either way, and it'll make some good stuff anyway. So, well, you guys, that's it. I hope we got two Texas coming in here. Let me see what's going on. All right, one more, Kristen. Great story on the Alice. I farm with mostly Alice equipment. And Kristen from the NRCS office, that's it over there in the big county seat of Sayre. Yeah, I bet you've got all kinds of Alice Chandler's equipment. Anyway, you'll have to send some pictures in one day, and I'll post it on our Facebook site. Appreciate that. And let's see here. Yep, the owner's name. Anyway, I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. It was kind of long. Sorry. On the Alice Chandler's tractors. Appreciate it, you guys. Oh, my text line is... The Newcombs had two four-wheel drive 305s that I drove back in the 90s. Thank you, RH. Appreciate that. Well, anyway, I guess we're going to have to find another tractor to talk about. Anyway, see you guys tomorrow. Lori White and Riley Broadbent will be on the show with me tomorrow from B&L Red Angus to talk about the new deal. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
This is KEC.